You know, when you go on vacation, it's good to go away, but it's even better to come home and to be home again. Luann and I were gone for 2 weeks in Colorado. We visited 4 national parks. We visited 1 former athlete, a niece, a nephew, a college roommate, a godson, and a goddaughter. So we made a whirlwind of it in the 2 weeks we were out there. And we saw many wondrous things that God has made. The Rocky Mountains are truly an amazing thing. If you go hiking through the Rocky Mountains and don't believe there's a God, I don't know if there's any hope for you. It says creation declares the glory of God. It certainly does. The beauty in creation. Some of the mountain lakes we saw, just beautiful. Just beautiful. I was really chomping at the bit because there's, you just look over and there's all these trout just swimming. It's like, ooh, where's my rod? But we had a great time. I'd like to thank the elders for holding down the fort while I was gone, and for everybody else in our absence. I know right before we left home, Barry was praying for rain. Does God answer or what, you know? Do we serve a faithful God? Barry, you can stop praying. For rain, that is. Yeah. So, we called home and we had no idea we were getting flooded out back home. And because it's so dry out there. It is so dry. I mean, some of the lakes are like 10 and 12 feet below their normal levels. They didn't have the snow this winter, and they had some wildfires. They were out by the time we got there, but God is faithful. I did hand out, Brandon did. Thank you, Brandon. And for those of you who were willing to take a scripture from Brandon, I think there's 6 different ones that we're going to be reading then. We're still working on this summer series, Jesus is blank. This morning we're examining Jesus is our provider. That's where we're going with that this morning. So let's pray as we look into God's word. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful Father. So good, so loving. And if you are for us, who can stand against us? We know the answer. No one, Lord. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in each one of us in your Holy Spirit. It's truly amazing, Lord. You're truly amazing. Thank you for your presence here this morning, for each one that you have brought. So good to have Lena and the granddaughters here, and just everybody to be here. And we're thankful for that. So Holy Spirit, we pray that today that you would make your word come alive in our hearts. Make it ring clear in their ears. Let Jesus receive all the honor and glory. We pray in his name. Amen. In the time I was away, I was reading, and I had this book by Randy Clark on healing that I was working through, and another book I had brought. And one thing Randy wrote in that book, and I shared this with Barry this morning, is that he said, sometimes we confuse our experiences and it conflicts with what the Word of God says. He says, in those times, we can't allow our theology to be messed with. We cannot question the Word of God if it is contradictory to our experiences, because this is the truth. We need to stand on this. And so that's a good word as we look at Jesus as our provider. Do you believe that? We say we believe that, and yet there's times in life where there seems that our needs are not being met. And it seems like no time soon they're going to be changed. And when push comes to shove and the pressure's on, do we really believe that he's our provider for everything? Maybe I'm the only one that struggles with this at times. You guys all seem pretty sure about it. I know that too. I know it. We know that is true. And yet, we get pushed in that, don't we, in that belief? Do we have faith and confidence to know that he'll provide for you in your need? So this is a good reminder for all of us this morning that God is faithful and he is a good, good father and he provides for his children. Believe that, Charles? Yes, I do too. I didn't look this up, but I read that there's at least 169 verses in the Bible that refer to ways that God provides for us. 169. Probably more than that, but that's just a ballpark. So I think he wants us to know that he's going to provide for us. In Philippians 4:19, this is probably one of the most common ones we know. It says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." My God will supply all your needs. Ooh. You know, in the original Greek, the word all, know what it means? All. Okay, just so we got that straight. God differentiates, though, between our needs and our wants. He wants us to remember this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And with that being said, though, God is concerned about our eternity, sure. But he's also concerned about every part of our being here and now on this earth. He's not just concerned about our soul, our spirit. He's concerned about spirit, soul, and body. All three parts of us he has made provisions for, all three parts, here and now and through eternity. So as Christians, we're taught to not only focus on our own needs, of course, but on the needs of others. In Philippians 2, 3 and 4, it says, "Let nothing be done of selfish ambition or conceit, but let in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others." So we're supposed to be concerned not just about our own needs, but the needs of others. But with our own personal needs, sometimes screaming for attention. Don't they scream at us sometimes? How can we even find time to meet the needs of others? So Jesus in his wisdom, and God in his wisdom, knows that we're to seek one need. With a capital O. The one. Of course, our greatest need is a relationship with Jesus. And when Jesus is in our lives, he will take care of all the other needs because he is our provider. He is the source of our life, and he is the sustainer of our lives. I know you all know that. I'm just telling you things you already know. We need to hear this again. The quote that I heard, and I don't know who the author is, it says, "Just when you find he is all you have, you will find he is all you need." Let me read that again. This is about Jesus. "Just when you find he is all you have, you will find he is all you need." Does that make sense, Joy? You're thinking on that one, huh? The Father knew our greatest need was Jesus, so he freely gave us what we needed the most. But as with any gift that he gives, that the Father gives, it needs to be received. We have to receive what he has provided for us. Ephesians 2, 4 to 19 says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So our greatest need was provided by Jesus, by God and by Jesus. But too often we forget that we have this great inheritance as God's children. And it's a package deal. When we receive Christ, we receive all the inheritance. It's not like you get some of this and some of that, and, well, this person won't get that. No, we get it all. It's all given to us, all provided for us. And we can see God providing for his children all the way through the Bible. I mean, you just open up the Bible anywhere from Genesis through Revelation, and you'll see God providing for his children. Whether it be manna in the desert, which Colleen talked about this morning, or a fire by night and a cloud by day, God provides. Opening the Red Sea, whatever it is, God providing for his children. Feeding the 5,000. I mean, he does not change. And he is no respecter of persons. He has no favorites. So if he provides for this person, he's not providing for you. Yes, all the provisions have been prepared. In fact, Genesis reveals, God reveals himself in Genesis as to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh. Do you know that term, Jehovah Jireh? Our provider. And if you don't know this story from Genesis, in Genesis chapter 22, 1-8, God instructed Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac on a mountain. And so Abraham immediately does what he is asked to do, takes Isaac, a bundle of wood and some fire, and a couple of servants go with him. And he tells the, when they finally can see it off on the hill that he's supposed to sacrifice him on, off in the distance, he told the young men to stay there. The lad and I are going to go and sacrifice and we'll come back. And when they finally get to the place, the son Isaac says, "Where is the lamb for the offering?" Can you imagine how Abraham felt when he said, "Son, you're it," and put him on that wood? Abraham replied, "God himself will provide the lamb." That's faith speaking there. And you know the account. He rose up the knife. Isaac was on the altar, and just as he's ready to plunge it into his son, the angel says, "Don't do it." And he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And he was instructed to use the ram instead. And Abraham names the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And it was on that exact mountain where Abraham killed that ram, that same mountain Jesus died for our sins. It was that same exact mountain. And God did provide the lamb, didn't he? For us. For all time, the Son of God provided atonement for all our sin, once and for all, and for all the world. It's done. It was a true story of Abraham. It's just not some fictional story. It's a true account. And just as God provided for Abraham that ram, he provides for us in everything we need, whatever the need may be. There are so many promises in the Word of God for us as his children that he will provide for us. So we're going to read some of these now. These are the scriptures I gave out. I want you to let them sink in as we read them. Don't just, we know these scriptures. These are not unfamiliar scriptures. But let them sink in afresh to you, in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit just, let them seep in there that he is our provider. So as we're going to go through these, we're going to start with number one and go through six of these, starting with Psalms 23, verse 1, a Psalm of David.
Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He's your shepherd too. What's your want? What's your need? He's your provider. How about Psalms 123, 3-8?
123 or 121?
121, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yep.
He will not allow your foot to slip. I'm sorry. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever.
You need to claim these promises of God for yourself. Make them personal as we read through these. How about the next one? Psalm 146, 7 to 9.
God executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the ways of the wicked.
Okay, those are some Old Testament ones. I could have read so many more, but we're just let them sink in. Now we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to start Matthew 6, 25 to 32. This is pretty long, so whoever has it, thank you. But again, we need to remind ourselves of this because it's the truth. Let it sink into you, into your hearts.
Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you are in need of all these things.
I told you these are familiar, but we need to hear these words, I'm telling you. We need to just get this infusion of truth into our souls again and our spirits. How about Matthew 7:7?
Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you.
What's your need this morning? He wants us to ask. How about Philippians 4:19?
My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
As Colleen mentioned, even in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples to ask for provisions, and our dependence on God is affirmed again. Each time we pray that, we're affirming our need for God in our lives and for his provision in our lives, no matter what it is. Give us this day our daily bread. The Father knows our needs. Of course he does. He knows everything. And yet he desires us to ask that he will meet our daily requirements, whatever it is. And in the midst of all that, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Not seeking after all the stuff we need, but to seek first him. That's why we're saying Jesus is the one thing we need. And when we get him in the right place, he will provide for all those other things that he knows we need. Listen to 2 Peter 2, 1-3. It says this, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Listen to that again. Seeing that his divine power was granted to us, everything pertaining to life and godliness has been provided for us. That's pretty encompassing, isn't it? So what is your need this morning? Let's make it personal now. What is your need? Most of us have the basics. I mean, we have food, shelter, clothing. Nobody's starving here. But maybe there's deeper needs that you have, such as the need for forgiveness. Do you need forgiveness? Acceptance? Belonging? Do you need to be loved? Yes, we all need to be loved. Maybe you need to be understood by someone. Maybe you're in need of a good night's sleep. I run into more people that say to me, if I could only just have a good night's sleep, and I say, oh, that's an easy prayer. And I'll pray for them, and they will get a good night's rest. Possibly, you're in need of real joy or real peace in your life. Maybe you're in need financially, where you can't seem to make ends meet. Or perhaps you need physical healing, or emotional or relational healing. Maybe you have a loved one that needs to know or be recommitted to the Lord. No matter what the need, Jesus is your provider. Matthew 21:22 says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Let me read that again. This is Jesus' words. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. He's saying your answer's on the way. He has made so many precious promises in his word for us as children. And they're all good. 2 Corinthians 2:20 says this, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us. Did you hear that? All his promises, all the promises of God are in him yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us. I want to share something to you that I have personally come to know and believe through years of studying God's Word and reading men who wrote books about God's Word that I read, and through my own personal experience. Some of you may not agree with where I come out in this, and that's okay. But I want you to listen for that still small voice of the Holy Spirit affirming the things I'm going to tell you. No matter what your need is, I believe, and I believe the Word of God supports this, that Jesus has already provided it for you. Whatever the need, he has made provision already to meet that need. The Lord has already done his part, is what I'm saying. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." It is finished. Meaning his work was completed. And I believe that. He has already done his part. No matter what the need that you have, he has provided to meet that need. To many Christians, that sounds crazy. I'll just say it that way. You might be saying to yourself, no, no, Mike, he hasn't met the need. I got proof. The doctor says I've got this or I've got that. And you say I'm healed. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible's saying. It's not Mike saying it. It's what the Bible says. It says in 1 Peter 2:24 that he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Were healed. Meaning, it's been provided. It's already finished. Our part is to believe the promises and receive what he's already provided. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? It's not always easy, though. I used to believe that our faith is, you know, I need more faith. And once I have faith, it'll twist God's arm into making him do something he didn't want to do. No, he's already done it. All our faith does is help us receive what he's already provided. We're not twisting God's arm to make him do something he doesn't want to do. He's saying, no, I've already provided it for you. It's yours. We just need to receive it by faith. Wow. So whether it be salvation, he's not saving people anymore. He's already done his part. People just need to receive salvation. You understand it. I know you get that part. Salvation is something that's been provided for. It's for everybody, and yet God's will is that none would perish and all to come to repentance. Isn't that what it says, Charles? And yet how many come to repentance and come to the Lord? Few. It says, broad is the road that leads to destruction and narrow the road to salvation because few that find it. What he's saying is, I provided this for the whole world, and yet there's such a few that only receive it. He's not saving people anymore. It's already done. He's provided, they just need to receive what he's done. And so it's the same for physical healing or whatever else you need, provisions in your life. Now, God doesn't give money. He's not going to all of a sudden drop money, float it down on your house or something, but he gives you the wherewithal to be able to earn money. Or he'll put it on people's hearts for them to give you what you need to meet your needs. I mean, God has a variety of ways of meeting your needs. But don't look for money to be falling out of the sky anytime soon in that way. But he will provide for you whatever is needed. And I believe he uses doctors certainly to bring healing. He's not opposed to doctors or medicine. But sometimes they don't have the answers either. Listen to what it says here in his word. Listen to the tense, past tense. So often we read these things and we're not paying attention to the details and we miss things. This is out of Ephesians 2, 4 to 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, boy is he ever, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made, means done, us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved and raised up. These are all past tense. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's a lot. You got to write that down. Ephesians 2, 4 to 9, and read that a couple times when you get home. And it says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, it says, for by grace. It means grace is just, he just gives it. That's God's grace. It's just given. There's nothing you can do to earn his grace. He just pours it out. It's yours. He just gives it out. For by grace you have been saved. Saved. That word in the Greek is sozo, which means saved, like in salvation, going to heaven. But it also means other things. It means physically healed. Healing. And you can go through the Bible in different places where it says they were healed physically. The word in the Greek is sozo. All means the same. So when Jesus died, he made his grace available for not just salvation and eternity, which is important, of course, but he's concerned about you now. He doesn't want you to be walking around sick. And which leaves us with a dilemma when people still suffer, right? He doesn't want you suffering. Your healing's coming. It hasn't come yet, but it's on the way. I believe that. And you got to hang on to that too. He doesn't want you sick. He's not saying, well, we're going to teach Greta something here and we're going to. No, that's not our Father. He's a good Father. He loves you. He doesn't want you sick at all. And he gives doctors wisdom and he's helping you, and you're going to keep getting better. And we're believing for Greta's total, complete healing. And also, sozo means delivered from the demonic beings. So he's provided for us, not just for eternity, but for now. He wants us now. You know, if we were, say, the church, this is not a church, this is a fire hall. But a lot of people says, well, we can't let the church become in disarray. We got to keep the roof from leaking. We got to keep the windows not having holes in them. You know what I mean? You're the church. You're the dwelling place of God. Do you think God wants his temple beat up and sick and diseased? And no. No, he's made provision for us. So am I saying that you don't have enough faith? No. I don't understand it all. I'll be very honest. I've read a book on healing by Randy Clark on my vacation with Luann. I had bought it earlier and hadn't got a chance to read it, and I had time. Randy Clark was one God used to start the revival in Toronto years ago. And it was a great revival, and thousands of people were physically healed. Thousands of people came to the Lord. Thousands of people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, God was doing all kinds of miraculous things during that time. And Randy Clark has had a healing ministry. He goes around the country and internationally praying for thousands of people, and they are healed of everything from blindness from birth to diseases of all kind. And yet in his book, he talks about times where people are not healed. And he has no explanation. He says, I know God wants them healed. And yet people are still not being healed. Why aren't they all healed? He doesn't understand, and I don't either. But I know God wants us well. There's another man, his name's Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson has a church in Redding, California. He's a great author and preacher, and God has used him to heal thousands of people as well. It's not either of these men. It's Jesus healing. Jesus gets glory. Bill Johnson's quote is, we want to rid that county in Redding, California of cancer, is his goal. And he has seen more people healed of cancer in these last years than ever before. And doesn't Bill Johnson's own father die of cancer? And it's not because his son Bill didn't have faith to believe God to do it. We don't understand it all. But we know God's word, and he says he has provided it for us. I believe that. Bible scholar Derek Prince, I don't know if you ever heard of Derek Prince or not, says this. He lived from 1915 to 2003. He was a Bible scholar, teacher, and author of many books. He says it's this. It's very important. This is a quote. It's very important to understand what happened when Jesus died on the cross. What that happened on the cross was a divinely ordained exchange. Think of the key word exchange. All the evil due our rebellion met together upon Jesus. That's on the left hand. The right hand is the opposite, that all the good due to the sinless obedience of Jesus might be made available to us. This is contrary to our natural thinking. We wouldn't reason it out that way. All the evil due our rebellion came upon Jesus on the cross, that all the good due to his sinless obedience might be available to us. Or to say it shortly, the evil came upon Jesus that good might be available to us. And then he gives 10 things on a list of what happened in this exchange. Listen to these. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made righteousness with his righteousness. Jesus tasted death for us that we might share in his life. Jesus was made a curse that we might receive blessing. Jesus endured our poverty that we might share in his abundance. Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory. Jesus endured rejection that we might have the acceptance with the Father. Jesus was cut off that we might be joined to the Lord. Our old man was put to death in him that our new man might come to life in us. It was a great exchange that happened that day on Calvary. Everything we need was made available for us 2,000 years ago. But we need to receive those promises by faith. God's word is true, even if you have not seen the manifestation yet. No matter what the circumstances say to us, we need to keep believing and praying God's will, which is his word. He tells us to not worry or be anxious for anything, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us, because our Heavenly Father knows that we need them. So pray the scriptures, pray his word, because it's his will. So, one of my needs is not a personal need for me. It's for my son, Ben. I'm going to share with these two testimonies. Ben and his wife, Brooke, been married now over a year. He was a teacher 2 years at Harrisburg, downtown, and worked in a school called SciTech. He worked as a fitness and health teacher there. Brooke had a job with Medical Select and as a videographer, what she was trained to do. And she was not happy there. She sensed the Lord wanted her to go somewhere else. She wasn't sure where. And they were praying about this for a while. And an opportunity came up for her to change jobs. And they'd have to move to Williamsport to do it, for her to do this job. It was working for the American Cancer Society. And the hours were a lot better. The people were a lot better. Her benefits were much better. Salary was better. And she really sensed God was asking her to do this. Her and Ben prayed about this for a while. They said, Lord, when she applied for this job, she said, Lord, if this is not for us, if this is not you, then help her not to even get it. Well, they offered her the job. So they prayed about it, and they had a real peace about going to Williamsport. So they're living in Montoursville, which is a little community just east of Williamsport, and she's working there. It's been a great fit for her. She's been doing well, and it's been a good job for her. However, Ben resigned his position as a teacher. He has applied for, I bet, a dozen different positions. Nothing. He has income yet, because his teaching salary goes through August, because even though you only get paid for the months you work, they can spread it out over 12 months, and that's what he's doing. So he has a couple of months yet that he's getting paid, but he's been looking for employment, and they've been looking for a church. They had a really good church they were going to. They really appreciated really good quality Bible preaching. So they're looking for a church, which they have not found. And he's looking for a job. He has some other interviews coming up even this week. He has some interviews coming up, but he does not have a job yet. And so what do I do as a father when I'm praying for him to get a job? How do my prayers sound? I'm not begging him. I said, Lord, he's your son. You said, you will provide. You want him to provide for his family. You're going to get him a job. I know you will. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it's going to be. And it might not even be a teaching job. It might be something even better than that. But I know you're going to provide for him, because that's who you are. And I thank you that you're going to provide him that job, even though it doesn't, he has no possibilities at this point. That's how I pray. I say, thank you, Lord, for that job you're going to have for Ben. And I just trust him that he's going to do that. It's harder, though, when it's other things. For instance, I have another testimony to share with you, physical healing. If you know, I'm with this group called Life Cycles. And I'm going to drop a bomb on Barry here a little bit, but next Sunday I won't be here again. I'm riding with Life Cycles. It's the only Sunday ride they have all year. And I was asked to lead a worship time for the gang before the ride. We're having a 30, 60, and 100-mile ride. I'm doing the 100-mile ride next Sunday. And I'm leading worship before the ride starts at 7 a.m. So keep me in your prayers next Sunday. I'll be ministering to kids. And we really do minister to kids. It's a Christian ministry that we minister to kids. And we have kids that come to the Lord through Life Cycles. And so I'm not just bagging next Sunday, but I'll be actually ministering and in a variety of ways. But at any rate, preaching and peddling, right, and giving glory to God. So I've never ridden 100 miles. The most I've ridden was 69. So this will be a challenge for me. And it's going to be a hilly course. So it's called the Covered Bridge Classic. So at any rate, I share this because the founder and director of Life Cycles' name is Lee DeRemer. He's a retired Air Force colonel, has his PhD. And God gave him and his wife the vision to start Life Cycles. And it's been a great ministry for the Lord, really God-honoring. I really appreciate his love for the Lord and how we get to share that with these boys when we mentor them and minister to them. What he didn't share with us is that he was fighting a physical condition. And I didn't know this. He just revealed it this summer. And it's been going on now for about a year and a half. It's called polymyalgia rheumatica. And it's a condition where it affects his movement and his joints and his ability to do things. For instance, he can't lift his arms above, he couldn't lift his arms above his shoulders. He said it was so bad that he couldn't even pick up his coffee cup in the morning. It was too heavy. And he's a big man. He's a strong man. But this was affecting him greatly, and he shared this with all of us because he's having to work with moving bicycles, and so we decided we're all going to be chipping in more to help him do all this because we have this van, this big box trailer filled with 40 bikes and helmets and shirts. We give everything the kids need. They're provided for by Life Cycles. So he shared this with us, and after he shared it, after all the people were gone, because I didn't want people poo-pooing what I was going to say to him and pray for him, I said, Lee, I want to pray for your healing. He looked at me. I said, God doesn't want you sick. He's already provided for you healing through Jesus' shed blood and his wounds of his body. He's looking at me because he'd been seeing the doctors for a while now, and this had been going on for a year and a half. I said, just agree with me in prayer. He said, okay. So I prayed for him a simple prayer. And, you know, in the Word, this is Jesus' words. This is not Mike saying this. It says, have faith in God. This is what he says. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, this obstacle, this problem, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. I said, Lee, I'm going to speak to this condition. I'm going to command it to go in the name of Jesus. And so I spoke to that polymyalgia rheumatica in the name of Jesus, and I commanded it to leave, and all the symptoms that he was having with not being able to raise his arms and the weakness in his body and his hands and so forth, I commanded it all to go in the name of Jesus. And I just prayed that the Holy Spirit would just come over him and just rid his body of all of that in the name of Jesus. And I only took a minute to pray it. And I said, in Jesus' name. He says, in Jesus' name. Okay, he said. The next time I saw him, he said, Mike, I'm healed. I have no more symptoms in my body. The doctors can't explain it. It's been over a month now. I just saw him Tuesday. He says, Mike, I'm healed. I'm completely whole. I have no symptoms anymore at all, and it continues. Praise God. Praise God. Did I heal him? No way. I can't do anything. But I believed in the word and prayed over him. Does it happen every time? No, and it drives me crazy. You know, when I prayed for him, my faith level was, I had a little. He said, all we need is a mustard seed, though. That's what I had. But I knew what the word said. And in my mind, I knew it was true. And so I just prayed for him anyway. I didn't feel anything. He didn't feel anything. He didn't say, oh, I got this electric coming through my body. He felt nothing. When I left that night after I prayed, it looked like nothing happened. He's not like going, oh, you know, nothing. And next time I see him, completely whole. Can I explain it? No. I just know it was Jesus. And he hasn't changed. He's still the healer. He still wants you well, whatever it is. And I don't get it when sometimes you think, why isn't this gone? I don't. And other scholars don't either. But we need to keep trusting in our Lord because he is our healer. He is our provider. He is our sustainer. He is good, always good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are so good. You're a loving Father, and you provided everything for your children. You're not one of those fathers that are missing. You're a good Father, and you provide everything for us that we need. You're so good. Thank you for Jesus. He is the one thing we needed, the one thing we really needed, and you gave him, and he has provided through Jesus. You provided everything to meet our needs, both in this life and the one to come. And Lord, we don't understand completely why healings don't manifest more often or why it seems so slow sometimes that you answer our prayers to meet our needs, whether it be relief from this or that or financial needs, I don't know. But Lord, you say you'll provide and we trust you. We want to be children that trust you as a good Father. And Lord, for those out there that are still suffering with physical things, we thank you for doctors, we thank you for medicine, but Lord, we know ultimately you are the healer. Yes, you'll use other means, and those means are not bad. But Lord, you want us to be well and to be whole. So Father, give us faith. Help us walk anew. Help us to keep praying those hard prayers and thanking you in advance when it seems the answer is not even close. Help us to be people of faith, to walk in your promises, and to trust you to move in the lives of others. I thank you for the healing of Lee DeRemer, Lord God. I thank you healed this man of his infirmity, and he's completely whole. I give you glory for that, Lord God. And I thank you in advance for the job you're going to give Ben. I know you're going to give him something good because he's your son. And for each and every other prayer request that's out there, I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to answer those requests because you love us so much. So, Lord, in the week to come, I pray that you'll help us to be your people because this is a needy world we live in, and you're a good provider. Help us to point others to the great provider, Jesus. Give us grace to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.